If you're a guest, I'd like to apologize, but thank you for coming anyway. We are talking about the power of 10. John McGookin, it's good to see you, man. Well, speak to me afterwards. We need to get your tithe also right now. Right? Good to see you, man. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 25? Matthew, chapter 25. And we're going to look today at the parable of the talents. And we're asking the question, potential, realized, or wasted. Matthew, chapter 25. I'm just going to read verse 14, and we're going to come back, and we'll walk through these verses as we walk through our time together this morning. Verse 14 says, "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them." Little boy came home from school and he said, "Daddy, I believe I failed." His dad said to him, "Son, be more positive." He said, "Okay, I'm sure I failed." All of life, everything in life, is about authority and accountability and examination. We examine our checkbooks. We examine our marriages. We examine our lives. It would be a terrible assumption for students to think that when they graduate school, college, that all of exams are over. Jobs come along and there are job reviews. Your skills are tested. Children come along and how many of you know your patience is tested? All of life is about accountability and authority and examination. That's true in the Christian life. The Christian experience is full of tests, accountability, stepping up and responding, facing up to the disciplines in life that stretch us and grow us. While we come to Christ by faith alone, all of life is about accountability and authority and examination. Jesus tells two parables, at least, in Matthew chapter 25. He tells the parable of the 10 virgins, and then he tells this parable, the parable of the talents. And he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. Look again at verse 14. "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey." The kingdom of heaven. Now there needs to be probably a distinction between the kingdom of heaven and the millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom is coming. It will come when Christ comes and sets up a 1,000-year reign on this earth. But the kingdom of heaven is that period between Christ's ascension and Christ's return to this earth. During this age, we call the age of grace, during this age is the kingdom of heaven. It's a time of accountability. It's a time of authority. It's a time of examination. And when Christ comes back again, we're going to be examined for what we've done for the kingdom. You may be like me. I've wondered from time to time, "Father, when you save us, why don't you just snatch us out of this world and take us home to be with you?" The answer is this. It's because all of life is about accountability, authority, and examination. Let me give you the big idea this morning. The big idea is this. We will be held accountable for how we manage God's resources. Everything we have as believers we'll give an account for. The spiritual giftedness, our money, the resources that God has given us. And so this morning, let's kind of hang our thoughts on three different things. First of all, there's an assignment in the kingdom. He said it's like a man who's going on a journey. Parables are not necessarily meant to be dissected. We're not to take spiritual scalpels and just kind of fillet the parable. The parable is a picture of the whole. It's about accountability and authority and examination. And if we forget that, we forget what this parable is saying. Some things are obvious. The man, the rich man in the story is Jesus. He's going away. The slaves are those of us who are followers of Christ. He looks at us and He says, I'm going away. Now, when Jesus tells this parable, people would understand it in that day. We shoot you from time to time just to keep you awake like that. They would understand what He was talking about because it was not uncommon for a man to leave with stewards his possession. And so first of all, we need to understand this. What we have is not ours. How many of you know that's true, church? What we have is not ours. Notice what the Scripture says. For it's just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves. Now underline this word. And he entrusted them. The word entrusted there is the word that gives the idea of power of attorney. I'm going to leave my possessions with you, but they're not yours. I want you to oversee them. As a matter of fact, I want you to do more than oversee them. I want you to invest them, and I want you to bring a return to them. It's very, very important for us to understand, if we're going to understand life as believers, is that nothing we have belongs to us. Nothing. Everything we have is given by God for us to entrust. Notice the second thing in the assignment. God's kingdom purposes do not operate according to what is fair, but what is best. Notice that He says, each according, verse 15. And to one He gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability. Underline that in your Bibles. Each according to his own ability. You know what? That's liberating. Because God doesn't expect anything of you that He hasn't given to you. We spend a lot of time wanting to be like everybody else. We spend a lot of time trying to measure up. We spend a lot of time wishing and hoping. As a matter of fact, when I was a kid, my mom used to say, you're going to dish your life away. Now here's what He's saying. I'm going to give according to your ability because I know you better than anybody else. And here's what I want from you. I want you in the assignment to step up and take responsibility. And notice the third thing that He says. And He went away. Or He went on His journey. I think Jesus pauses there. I think it's what we call in the Scripture the pregnant pause. That Jesus, who is the master storyteller, fills this story with tension. Imagine yourself in the position of these men. He calls you in. He says, I'm going away. And He gives each one of you responsibility. It's about accountability, it's about authority, and it's about examination. He's going to leave. It could have been out of sight, out of mind. We'll catch up later. I can't tell you how it used to happen to me when I was a kid and we just started getting into church. And man, there were times when I would think, you know what, I've got a lot of living to do. And at some point, I'm going to get all of this stuff together. And I'm going to get my church life together and I'm going to really go gung-ho for God. You know, the problem with that is, if you blink, you're 50. And you blink again and you're standing at the judgment seat of Christ. Do what you do right now for the kingdom of God and the glory of God. And don't wait and don't put it off. There are 4 things that He tells us about in the assignment. It tells us about our view of the Master. It tells us about our view of money. It tells us about our view of eternity. And it tells us about our view of accountability. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all stand. Get this, guys. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things that we've done in the body, whether they be good, which means beneficial, or whether they be bad, which means non-beneficial. Now, there are 2 judgments in the Bible at least. There's the great white throne judgment, where those who've rejected God's offer of Christ will stand. And then there's the great white, and then there's the judgment seat, where you and I will give a response for the accountability and the authority and the examination of life. The assignment. Notice, secondly, the activity. The Bible tells us what He gave them. He gave one man 5. There was a 5-talented guy. He gave one man 2 and He gave one man 1. You know what a talent was? 1 talent. Get this. was worth 20 years' wages. So there's one guy who's got 100 years' wages, one guy who's got 40, and one guy who's got 20. Unbelievable the potential that is in each one of us, regardless of the talents that we have. Unbelievable what we can do to effect and impact the kingdom of God. Notice a couple of things. Notice, first of all, the diligence of the faithful. Look at verse 16. Immediately, I love that, underline that. Immediately, there was obedience. There's no such thing in the Bible as incremental obedience. Okay, God, I'm going to kind of obey you here, and then I'm going to kind of obey you here, and I'm going to kind of obey you here. No, the Bible says immediately. That's so incredibly strong. How many of you known somebody who's just grown really fast in their faith? You know what? It's not because they have more intelligence necessarily. It's because they immediately obeyed. Now look again at the verse. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and, look at the consideration, underlining this word, traded it. In other words, he found something worthy of investment. And he invested it in the kingdom and it automatically doubled for him. You have to have faith to do kingdom work. You have to believe God to do kingdom work. It's like whatever you're going to do, it takes a risk. It takes faith and you have to step out toward it. But then notice something else. Notice that there was one guy who didn't do what the other two did. Look at verse 18. But he who had received the 1 talent went away and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. He's got 1 talent and he's going to hide it. You know, the problem was there's no intention. It's kind of like marriage. We get married in emotion. We fall in love in emotion. You know what they call the honeymoon? You know what honeymoon is? It means sweet month. Because after that month, you're pretty much done. And all that kissy mouth stuff, somebody's got to go to work. Somebody's got to put food on the table. And then have you noticed that it doesn't take a whole long time, if you don't work on it, for the passion in marriage to begin to wane a little bit? Because you wake up one morning and you look over there and you've never seen anything quite like that before. You've always seen it made up. When you married her, she weighed 110. A month later, she weighs 10-1. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And emotionally, you begin to get a little drained. There has to be, for marriage that make it, there has to be intentionality. Intent. He had no intent. He never intended to do anything with what was given him. He never intended to invest in the kingdom. He never intended to be faithful in the kingdom. Are you wasting your potential? When I was a very young preacher, I prayed, God, let great people bump into me on the way to eternity. Let me know men who know God. The first guy I really ever met that really impacted my life like that was a guy named John Tippett. Dr. John Tippett pastored for more than 25 years at the Calvary Temple Church in Savannah, Georgia. Dr. John was a great man of wisdom. He really was. And the first time I ever met him was at a camp down at Lake Norman around Tifton. We'd taken our students and they took their students and they were around the campfire. And I just took our students out there so we could listen to this great man of wisdom. And I just listened to Dr. John as he spoke. And I said, God, let that man come into my life. I'd love to have a guy like that in my life who could help me and who could mentor me. And by the grace of God, God allowed Dr. John to be a part of my life. And he spoke in my church and my wife and I spent time with he and his wife. And he just took his life and he just poured his potential into me. My pastor pastored the same church for 27 years. Did the same thing. He saw in me what I could never see in myself. He understood my weaknesses and he understood my strengths. And he understood the call of God's life, God's call on my life, and he just poured himself into me. Man, listen to me. Listen to me. Church guys, listen to me. Christians, listen to me, followers of Christ. Find somebody who is wise in the faith, and years don't matter, who's wise in the faith, and pray God, let them pour potential into my life. Potential that I will not hide. And then through the years, God's allowed me to touch some guys' lives. I was preaching not too long ago a revival, and a man came to me and he said, "Pastor, I've never been a part of your church, but I've known you for years and you've encouraged me and I listen to you on a weekly basis. And I just want to thank you for seeing in me potential and using, letting God be used in my life." Potential. Don't hide your potential. Don't hide your giftedness. Don't hide your talents. And aren't you glad, church, aren't you glad that we don't all have to be alike in the kingdom of God? That God is so wonderfully creative that when He created us, He didn't make us all to look just alike, think just alike, walk just alike, act just alike. That God uses all of us for His great kingdom purposes. What a great God. Don't hide your potential. Some of you are saying this, "Man, when I get more, I'll give more." No, you won't. That's not true. As a matter of fact, the more you get, the more you will hoard. And the more you will hide. We've been given ever since we got married. And even before, we've been tithers and givers. You know what I used to think when Gary mentioned that $100 thing? When I was a senior in high school, 1970, I graduated from high school. You can think back that far. Don't think you can't. I thought, truth before God, I thought if I could make $100 a week, and here's what I thought, that's $400 a month. It really was. And I thought, we're going to have it made. You know what I found out? It wouldn't even pay the gas bill for the car. But everything we made, I worked with my dad doing landscaping while going to seminary. I worked with the city. I worked with the state, which means I did nothing, but I worked all those jobs. My wife worked exceedingly long hours to help me get through school. When we went to pastor our first church, she made $300 a week doing what she was doing, which at that time was a pretty good salary. When I went to pastor my first church, they were going to give me $165 a week and let me live in the pastorium. Yeah, the only problem with that is, have you ever tried to eat brick? It don't taste good. And yet we said, God's call is on our life. God's call is not for Cheryl to work, regardless of how much she makes. God's call is for me to be a pastor, a preacher. God's call is for that. And so, Father, wherever you put us, that's where we'll land and we'll be happy. And we immediately started giving beyond. Why? Because we have a God who is faithful in what He has called us to do. Don't hide your potential. Any of you got kids? Don't raise your hand. Any of you got kids who won't live up to their potential, and you could just snatch a knot in their butt? Any of you got kids like that? Excuse me for saying knot, but any of you got kids like that? You could just snatch a knot, and here's what you know. They're going to be out of school at the blink of an eye, and they won't study, and they won't apply themselves. And moms and dads are going, yes, like this. And you're just thinking, hey, goofy, you're going to be out of school and you're going to turn around and you're going to say, boy, I made a D when I should have made a B. And if you're a D guy, then be a D guy. But if you can be a C guy, be a C guy. And if you're a C guy who can be a B guy and a B guy who can be an A guy, don't waste the potential God's given you. And that's what this guy did. The faithful were diligent, but the fearful are delinquent. I was afraid. People used to talk about, I'm saving for a rainy day. I've got news for you. If God asks you to give something and you're saving for a rainy day, it's going to rain, Jack. And then look at the accountability. It's going to rain soon. Apparently it's thundering and lightning all around. By next week, we'll have this fixed. Or I'm going to kill this microphone. Verse 19 says, now after a long time, get that, don't miss that. After a long time, the master of the slaves came and settled the accounts. He came back. He said, I'm going to be gone. I don't know how long I'm going to be gone. It doesn't matter how long I'm going to be gone. I've given you something that's not yours. It's mine. You're keeping it for me. Invest it for me. Get a return on it. But I'm coming back. And he came back. Jesus is going to do the same thing. I don't know how long he's going to be gone. People used to say, if Jesus doesn't come by the year 2000, if Jesus, who knows how long it's going to be before the Lord comes again. You and I don't know that. Quit speculating on it. Well, here's what the signs say, and here's what Israel's doing. Listen, his coming is going to be soon, it's going to be quick, but you don't know when. But he is coming back. And when he comes, there's going to be a reward for those who are faithful. And the Bible says, look at what he says in verse 20. And the one who had received 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 to me. See, I have gained 5 more. And the one with 2 did the same thing. And look at what the Bible says down in verse 23. His master said to him, now watch this, because here's the reward. Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Now watch this. Enter into the joy of the master. 3 things that they're rewarded with. Number 1, the master's well done. And they couldn't imagine anything better than that, to hear Jesus say, well done. And then a place in the kingdom. Now here's where the accountability and the authority and examination come into play. What are we going to get? What do we get? It's not money. It's not riches. Now, you may have some of that return. There's a return on what you invest in the kingdom of God on this earth. Jesus said, as a matter of fact, it's not 10, it's 100-fold. But that's not the essential thing. That's not the important thing. The test that you're being examined for today is this. How are you responding to the potential God has given you? Because when the kingdom comes, and it's coming, the millennial kingdom is coming when Christ comes again and sets things right on this earth, he's going to give you, according to your faithfulness and how you lived up to your potential, he's going to give you a place in the kingdom. And that's going to be your reward. The more that you have produced through the potential he's given you, then the greater your potential in the kingdom is exercised. Well, that's so important. We hear very little about it today. We do very little preaching about it today. But all of the life that we're living as followers of Christ is going to be brought into account under his authority and examined to determine what you're going to do and where you're going to be stationed in the kingdom of God. And then he said there's a third part of that. It's entering into something that money can't buy. It's the joy of the master. His peace, his joy, his life to be experienced and enjoyed throughout all of eternity. What are we going to do in eternity? We're going to worship God. We're going to give praise to God. And we're going to know the absolute joy and peace of knowing God perfectly. You ever heard this? Boy, when I get to heaven, I want to ask God. And you know what? You're not going to ask God anything. Number 1, you're going to have the mind of Christ. And number 2, you're going to be so awed at who he is. He says, enter in. Enter in. Enter into my joy. But look at the regret. Verse 24 said, and the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid. He said that for the second time. I was afraid. Fear. Fear overwhelmed him. Fear squelched his productivity. And I hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered, verse 26, and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave. If you knew that I were a hard master where I would reap where I did not sow and I would gather where I gathered no seed, then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, now watch this, verse 28 and 29. It's not what's fair, it's what's best. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has shall be more given, and he shall have abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does not have shall be taken away. God said, if a man's going to use what he's got, I'm going to give him more. You're going to use your mind? You're going to use your gift? You're going to use your resources? You're going to use your money? God says, I will give you more. But if you choose to let it atrophy and rust, then God said, I'll take it away. Now look at verse 30. And cast out the worthless slave into outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now he's lazy and he stole and he was disobedient and he lied. It sounds to me like he's worthy of hell. But is that what that verse is saying? Because if that's what that verse is saying, then we don't have a salvation by grace through faith. We have a salvation by works, and this one guy didn't get it. And if that's true, then more than half, maybe 75, maybe 90% of those who call on the name of Christ or say they do are not going to heaven. If that verse is what he's talking about, salvation by works, we've got a problem. All of us have got a problem. And all of us are going to scamper and all of us are going to panic. Because if that's what he's saying, well, maybe somebody says it like this. Well, maybe he's saying that there were two who were saved and one who was really not saved. That's not what he's saying. There were three who were saved. There were three who were slaves. There were three who were servants. There were three who knew the Master. Now get this very carefully. What we do with what God has given us determines what we receive in the kingdom. And for those who were just lazy, disobedient, slothful, lied, didn't know the Master, didn't care about others around them, weren't interested in the field of souls, God says to those in the kingdom, not in hell, not in even in eternity, but in the kingdom, for those who did not and would not realize their potential, then there's no place for you here. And you can hear them weeping and saying, oh God, I've wasted it. I've wasted my potential. Not too long ago, Dr. Billy Graham, not too many years ago now, I heard Billy Graham say something that shocked me. He said, I want to hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But then he said this, I don't think I will. I don't know what God's going to say to Billy Graham or Mother Teresa or you. But I know this, if individually we're not reaping what He's given us, sowing what He's given us, harvesting what He's given us, there's a sad reality waiting for us. And I know this is a hard word, church. I know it's a hard word, but I see so much laziness and slothfulness and disobedience and non-commitment in God's people that is unbelievable. And God says, this is not a game. I've left with accountability and authority, and an examination is coming. Don't blow it. Don't blow it. Bow with me for a moment. And Father, we are cast ourselves upon You because we can't do anything apart from You. And we realize that. We also recognize that, God, You have blessed us with resources. And I pray today, Father, that my heart would become aflame, intentional, passionate about kingdom work and kingdom authority. And I pray that you would so minister your word this morning. And Jesus, you may be glorified. Now just a moment, church, just for one moment, heads are bowed. If you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you're a follower of Christ, would you mind just slipping up your hand right now and saying, "Yes, sir, Pastor, I know that. Thanks." Hey, thanks, guys. Put them down. Thanks, and be encouraged this morning. If you don't know Christ, we'd love to talk to you about Him and who He is and what He wants to do in your life and why He came. If you're here today, maybe you're looking for a church home and you've been coming for a while, and maybe you believe God wants you here. Would you just allow Him this morning to speak to your heart? In a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to give what we call in this church an invitation. We're going to invite people to come forward to make spiritual decisions for Christ. And if you need to do that, we have counselors here, deacons and pastors who can share with you what it means to be faithful in Christ or to be a follower of Christ. I'm going to pray a prayer and then we're going to stand and sing. If you need to make any decisions for Christ today, then I'm going to ask you to do that in a moment. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you for your love. We receive it. We walk in it. Thank you for what you've given us and thank you for the passion that Christ produces as we yield to Him. In His name. Congregation, would you stand, please?